Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I've got a very exciting show for you today. I have Kim Daly with me, and Kim has spent the last 20 years helping people achieve financial freedom by enabling them to find the perfect franchise opportunities. Her skill for matching a client's background, interest, skills, finances, and life goals to the ideal opportunity has made her one of the top franchise consultants in the country. Today, we are here to pick her brain a little and gain some insight into what can seem like a daunting process, deciding on the perfect franchise to enable you to gain financial freedom. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you for that introduction, Belinda. Love it.
I know, of course. So I'm excited because I have always been fascinated by franchising and I'm always reading about it and I'm always looking at just different opportunities and how much each franchise costs. So I'm super excited to dive into this interview today. So welcome.
Thank you. And I will answer any question you have. I want to know what fascinates you about franchising.
All right. Well, let's fill in some of the gaps from this bio and then tell us a little bit more about yourself and then a little bit about this journey. How did you become one of the top franchise consultants?
Okay, let's start with the latter part of that. First, let's explain what a franchise consultant is. So as you mentioned, I have been helping people for the last 19 years, and I'm only 35 years old. So, you know, just kidding. I have been helping people explore franchise opportunities. And no, I didn't grow up as a young girl saying, oh, yes, I can't wait to go be a franchise consultant, like said no one ever, right? So I'll get to that. But what that means is people come to me who are either investors looking for diversification in their real estate or stock portfolio, or they are executives who have a great career, but they're looking for what's going to happen after that career. Or they are actually executives in career transition who've been downsized due to pandemic or just, you know, companies changing, and they are looking for what's next. And so my job is to help them learn about franchising. Many times people come to the idea of wanting to own a franchise and they think about what they know or what they think they would enjoy doing, or they think about what their community needs. And when they come to me, I erase the blackboard and we start from scratch. Because the number one thing that you're investing in, Belinda, when you invest in a franchise is a relationship. You're buying people. Widgets don't make you happy or make you successful and keep your brand growing. People do. So my job is to help people really understand what is the value proposition of the right franchisor. How do I know what the right franchisor is? I guide them through the buying or due diligence process, which is about a 1 to a 2 month process, and help them say yes or no. And I do all of that for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
You do not, do you?
I do, actually.
Okay. Wow. So then where, as a franchise consultant, where are you earning your income?
Yes. So great question. I'm paid like a recruiter by the franchisor. So rather than franchise companies fielding, you know, sifting and sorting through organic lead flow from their website, people who had a bad day or who thought they were interested in a business but don't really know anything about the business, the franchisors come to groups like FranChoice. So I am like a franchisee of a company called FranChoice for the last 19 years. So I walk my talk. I am trained by a corporate office. I pay royalties to a corporate office. So I live the life of a franchise owner and I'm helping other people become franchise owners. But my franchisor, FranChoice, they go out and they work, find the franchisors that want help growing. So as I started to say, franchisors, rather than like sifting and sorting on their own, they can come to FranChoice and say, hey, we're looking for executives or people with these skills who have this much money, who live in these markets. If you find them and bring them to us, we like them and award them a business, we'll pay you a fee. So basically, I'm doing all of the prospecting, all of the lead generation and the pre-qualifying and setting expectations with candidates that allows franchisors then to maximize their time with the highest caliber people for their opportunity.
Wow. So then do individuals come to you too saying, I'm seeking to get involved in the franchise market? Do you have suggestions of a good one? And then you kind of like coach them through that process of what would be a good fit?
Oh, yeah. So I'm working with candidates who are looking for a franchise. I just get paid by the franchisor. So for my families, my candidates that I'm working with, my service is entirely free. You never have to pay me any money.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
It really is. I love that. Let's talk a little bit about how the business has shaped your lifestyle. And I want to go back to what led you to becoming this expert in franchising.
Okay, since it's not so obvious. Well, I did not wake up and say I want to be a franchise consultant, because who even knows what that is, right? I did stumble from a classified ad in the newspaper. I was on my way to med school. And I was a nutritional biochemistry major with a sports nutrition minor. I wanted to work in sports medicine using my nutrition. And I answered a classified ad in the newspaper one summer, and it literally changed the course of my life. It was for a franchise company, not the one I'm part of now. But it really exposed me to this amazing industry of people helping people. It's so entrepreneurial. We inspire dreams. We make dreams come true. People are living lives that they just wouldn't otherwise be able to live when they're employed by somebody else, with freedom and flexibility and financial potential. And I just fell in love. And what I really just found in within myself was an entrepreneur. And so after 3 years of working for that company, I decided to start my first company. I was 25 years old, and I have been successfully self-employed since I was 25, and I'm now 48. So for a long time. Mm-hmm. So for the first 5 years of this journey of being self-employed, I was an entrepreneur. I was lucky enough to start a company that, at the beginning of the internet, when the internet was first becoming a business tool, I got partnered with usatoday.com. So that really launched my entrepreneurial career. It was so fun, Belinda. People would literally say to us, you know, like I was looking for advertising dollars. That was our revenue model. And I was able to attract big companies in nutrition, and because that was my background in nutrition and fitness, and go to all the big fitness shows and nutritional expos and command, you know, big advertising dollars because of the presence that we had with usatoday.com. And I got to meet some amazing people, and I was flying all over the country. But it was so fly by the seat of your pants, because the internet was this new thing. There was no pay-per-click model. Like, we were the inventors of that. Like, it was like the wild, wild west. We could charge whatever we could charge that people would be willing to pay. And, but literally people would say to me, well, Kim, I want to work with you, but I don't have a website. And I'd be like, oh, I think we can do that. And I'd hang up the phone and I'd turn to my group and I'd be like, can we build websites? So I ended up starting five different companies in the course of those 5 years that all kind of centered around using mm-hmm. the internet as a marketing tool to help health and fitness businesses grow. And anyway, what happened is, at the very old age of 29, I had moved to South Florida for a consulting gig with a health and fitness company that they hired me for a one-year project. And so I decided to make the move from New Hampshire, away from my family, down to Florida. And then 9/11 happened. And I suddenly realized that I wanted to be closer to my family, and I wanted to stop traveling so much, and I needed systems, and I wanted people. Entrepreneurship is very lonely. So I came back to my franchising roots, and at the time, FranChoice was just getting started. I said yes. I went to training February 2nd of 2002, and I've been here ever since. Who knew? It's been the most amazing journey. Through that time, I have become the top consultant in the country. Back in 2012, I built the largest franchise consulting business in the history of franchise consulting. And I have replicated that success. I've shared it with other consultants who now go on to beat me. They kick my butt, which I think is amazing. Mm-hmm. I share the science of what I've learned with all of my candidates so they can take it to their franchise business. And I mean, truly, I am working from my happy place.
That is so awesome. So for our listeners that might just need to understand a little bit more about franchising. So it's a business model in which you pay to get sort of to be under an umbrella. So it's not like you have to invent everything or even come up with, as you said, the widget or the service. It is sort of under this umbrella of this parent company. And then you are sort of allowed to use their name and branding and in order to build your own sort of business in your specific city or location.
Yes. So I'm going to fill in the gaps a little bit there. So when you say yes to a franchise, as I said before, you're buying a relationship. So compare it to an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur has to stop and have an idea and then flesh out that idea, right? They have to throw a lot of mud at the wall to try to figure out exactly who is the customer, what's the marketing, like what's the messaging, where do I spend these marketing dollars, how many marketing dollars, how long am I going to have to spend this money to get a return, where do I put my location, how do I source my product? So an entrepreneur has to stop and create all of that. A franchisee gets to pay a fee, which is called a franchise fee. It's the one-time fee that you give to the franchisor. And I call it the cost of entry. You pay the franchise fee, which on average today is roughly around $50,000, but it opens the gate and buys you immediate access to all of those proven tools. Now, if the franchise is established and has a track record for 5 years or 10 years and has history and data that we can study and learn from, then we're buying down the learning curve because we are partnering ourselves with not just the corporation, but with all of these other franchisees who are in it, who can validate to us, you know, approximately when they broke even and how long and how much money did it take and are they happy and knowing what they know now, would they do it again? And what do they actually wake up and do? Like, what is a day in the life like? So the entrepreneur is stopping to create all of that and is very lonely because you're on this island by yourself. There's nobody else doing what you're doing, living the life that you're doing. There's nobody to turn to for support. When things aren't going right, you kind of have to sit down and you know, figure it out yourself. Well, in a franchise, again, you have the support not only of the corporate office, but all of the other franchisees. We're not competitors with each other. We're all shareholders in the same brand. So when I figured out how to build the largest business in franchise consulting history, it was inspiring to share what I learned with my fellow consultants so they could go on and kick my butt, right? So they could take the science and go do it themselves because that just makes franchise that much better.
Wow. So when people see these like lists and I just small amount of sort of information that I have, but they're like top 10 franchises to invest in or top 20 growing franchises, it doesn't necessarily mean the top ones making the most income, or it could be that they have a low entry fee, or it could be that they just have been opening more franchises than anybody else. That's kind of what I have learned through that. So what do you think when people are looking at that are like, maybe I will, and then they pick up this magazine, they can grab at the drugstore and it says, you know, top franchising opportunities. What's your advice on that and the validity of that?
Okay. So such a great question. It's almost like I asked you to ask me that, but I didn't. So I have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/thedailycoach. And that's my last name, D-A-L-Y. So I literally just released a new video entitled Why Googling Hot Franchises is a Total Waste of Time. So here's the thing. When you look at what makes a business owner happy and successful. So happiness and success go together, right? Part of that success equation absolutely is money, but it's not the only thing. Look, if you are working your butt off and it depletes your quality of life, right? You can make a lot of money, but it's not going to make you happy. So when I'm talking about building wealth in a franchise, I'm talking like rich people have money, wealthy people have time to spend their money. So an entrepreneur who's stuck working in his business and toiling every day to make it grow, and he's the center of influence in his business, there's a lot of head trash that people bring to franchising that really is all due to entrepreneurship. in franchising, when you're buying into this proven toolbox, you as the owner should be the CEO working on your business rather than in your business. The business should reflect the skill sets that you have coming to the equation, not passions, not I love the widget, so I want to sell it, or I love to eat it, so I want to make it, right? Because ultimately, those aren't the things that keep your doors open. Last year in 2020, I told people that were still forward-thinking, dreaming, thinking about starting a business, there has never been a better time in the history of franchising to look at franchising than right now. You know why? Because anybody can make a business look good when the economy is good, but it took unprecedented leadership. It took cultures of abundance, positivity. It took financial resources to adapt and overcome and keep franchisees' doors open and thriving during 2020. Mm. So it was the best time to be talking to franchise owners because it was night and day which companies were there to support their franchisees and which were not. And part of the reason that Googling franchises is like not a good, like not the, I'm not going to say it's not a good thing to do. There's no wrong way to do anything, right? It's all learning. But a better approach is using someone like Kim Daly or FranChoice or a franchise consultant is that we have relationships. I know these people. They are my colleagues. I know how they adapted. I know which companies that you can talk to their franchise owners and they're still thriving and they're happy even during COVID-19, right? So you on your own looking at a list, it tells you something about system-wide sales, which is usually how those lists are made. But that system-wide sales, again, does not equate to you waking up and saying, wow, the skills I have match the top skills to own that franchise. And that fits the quality of life goals that I have because I only want to work Monday through Friday. And like, it doesn't address the real things that long-term are going to make you happy. So when you come to me, we're not going to worry about what the widget is. We're going to talk about your vision. What does your life look like as a business owner? What are you dreaming about? Why do you want to do this? When you wake up as a business owner, what are you doing every day? Who are you creating jobs for? Are you working with your spouse? Are you employing your kids? You know, are you out in the community networking? Are you being the mascot of your company, wearing the little like mascot hat through the 4th of July parade? Like, what are you doing? And what are you wearing even? Are you wearing a suit? Or are you in jeans and a polo shirt, right? Are you in someone's kitchen or are you in the boardroom? So we want to talk about the environment you want to be in that stimulates you, that makes you feel like you have something of value to offer to the customer. The franchisor can teach you the widget. They can teach you how to make the Subway sandwich. They can teach you, you know, but they can't teach you how to be a great leader of people if that's the key skills necessary to run a maid service franchise. They can't teach you to be a great salesperson who loves to prospect and loves to go out there and network with people. Like, that's a skill either you want to have or you don't have, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So I am matching those kind of core skills along with risk tolerances, along with like, so for what I mean by that is sometimes people will say, wow, I'd love to own the gym. But when I measure their risk tolerance, they're very, very conservative. Well, owning a gym, which is sort of on the bleeding edge, and it has to be, right? Because fitness is always changing and it's sort of trendy. It's not suited to every profile of investor. So there could be a disconnect there. Something that's a little more stable and tried and true, let's say like a Supercuts, right? So no matter what's happening in the world, people need a haircut. If the times get tough, people really want a cheap haircut, right? So those are the kind of conversations I'm having with people to come up with the top 3 to 5 options for them. So when people are Googling franchises, I'm like, well, wait, let's get together and go through my process and I'm going to create a custom list of companies that match you and your criteria.
I love that. Absolutely love that. That's awesome. So we've talked about skill sets here. So what have you identified as a couple of your superpowers?
So since I was 15 years old, I grew up on stage, on speech competitions, talent shows, theater, Miss America pageant organization. And I have always enjoyed inspiring people, leading people, encouraging people. I'm a Christian. I love to speak from my heart and share my truth. And I think that part of my success, most of my success, I give the credit to God for putting me in some amazing situations that literally I could never have gotten there on my own. Just setting things up for me before I even knew that I needed them. And then they were there when I was ready for them. And the people that I get to work with. So I feel the number one thing that makes me successful is I'm trustworthy, I'm honest, I'm here to help people, not push people into a yes. My process is very open in that I want you to say yes or no, and just inspiring people to really dream about what they want and to help them believe that it absolutely can come true.
Wow.
Because it can, because I'm living my dream.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So quick back-to-back questions. Greatest accomplishment?
Beyond my family? Sure. I would say I'm most proud professionally of my climb to build, you know, making history in franchise consulting.
Perfect. And greatest challenge you faced?
The greatest challenge I faced in the accomplishment of that goal?
Oh, in general, like during your career, what's one of the greatest challenges you faced and then how did you work through it?
Okay. I think getting clarity, right? The tendency when you're a business owner is there can be a lot of opportunities thrown at you, but really getting clear on where am I going to be most effective and saying no to the things that seem good, but don't help me move along the road that I want to be on. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just clarity. It's having vision. It's knowing who I am, which listen, knowing who you are happens through time and experience, trial and error. So, right. You have to make some mistakes along the way to go, okay, so that really wasn't the best representation of myself, right? Or not exactly who I want to be, or that wasn't the most effective use of my time. So part of that is just, that's why I say there's no right or wrong. I think in when you're moving in the advancement of a dream or a goal, because everything that you do, even if you fail, it's more success. It's probably more beneficial to getting to your yes when you get a no, right? Because we learn way more when it's not working out than when it's all bed of roses.
Absolutely. That's what I always tell people. There really is no such thing as failure, because if that didn't work out, maybe it wasn't meant to work out, or it leads you to the next best thing that is meant for your life. I don't know. I just look at every little bump in the road I've had as, wow, That was a great learning lesson. And so I'm going to take that forward into my next adventure.
Even relationships and mentors I've had along the way that I was sad sort of when our paths disconnected. And I've learned over time that, you know, there are some people that come for a reason. There are some that come for a season. And then there are some that stay forever. But to let those people go when the road is naturally parting, because somebody else who has more of what you need for the next chapter that you're going into will come. Faith.
It's having great faith. I love that. A season, a reason, and for life. I love that. I've never had anybody say it in a fun way that you can like sort of remember it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a hard lesson for me because I love my people so much and I have had amazing mentors and I have a real hard time letting go of people and I want everybody to stay close forever. And so that's actually probably one of the biggest challenges I've had is understanding that, you know, there's a time to move on. And sometimes it just means moving on to what's next fully, including a relationship.
Absolutely. I mean, even in friendships that we have, it's not that you quit being friends with somebody. It's just you sometimes outgrow that friendship in the moment, or they're not in that close circle of influence. They just become that, you know, second, third tier of friends that you send a Christmas card to. You know what I mean?
Right. As I've grown financially and I've grown professionally and I've grown personally. Like most of it stems from personal development first, right? You only become on the outside what you've already become on the inside, right? So the work gets done on the inside. And I had to go find, I'm a huge believer in the mentorship within a franchise, right? But in my personal life, in order to grow, when you're the biggest there is in your industry, you have to go outside of that. And I was seeking mentors who were very established in their careers or in their entrepreneurial paths or in their financial situation, people where I could be the small fish, right? Rather than the big fish in the pond. I want it to be the small fish, so that they say that you become like the five people closest to you or whatever. And so when I really took that to heart and said, well, I need, no offense to the people who are near me, but I want to find people that I want to be like them in the next 3 to 5 years. I don't want to be the same person in the same place. I want to be that. And my life has continually advanced and grown because, and it's not like in a greedy way or never satisfied way. It's just in a very gentle, life is always expanding. We're here for a reason and a purpose. And I want to accomplish every purpose that God put me here for. And so it's just a continual expansion. And part of that is being open to new relationships.
Absolutely. And I love the whole small fish, big fish. It's like that. Some people get really comfortable being the biggest fish in that pond, but there's no growth. And so I'm always teaching my youngest daughter. She's in theater too. And I'm like, you need to stretch yourself. You've gotten the lead here at this theater every single time. So now it's time to move on. It's time to have some competition. It's time to not be the best person in the room. You always want to be surrounding yourself with better people so that you can strive to be better or you won't grow. So
exactly. That's good advice, Mom. I say the same thing to my kids.
Well, but a lot of people don't. They're like, stay here forever so that you can always be the biggest fish and somehow, but there's no growth or learning in that.
It's super comfortable, but complacency is never good. That's not what life is. It's not what life is about.
So what does working from your happy place mean to you? I think you've articulated that pretty well, but it's our signature question of the show.
Working from my happy place means, number one, I tell people I am at 48 years old, completely unemployable. So my dad would probably say that was true of me when I was 2. Kimberly's always wanted to be the boss of Kimberly. That's what he would say. But I would say that I am completely unemployable, which means that not because someone couldn't afford me, but my freedom has no price. So for me, working from my happy place means that I am 100% in control of my destiny, of my time, of the choices I make, and how they reflect my life.
Very good. I love that. And so we're going to go on to talk about what advice would you give to others. But I want to one other question about franchising. So, you know, there's one other sort of whole section of this, and that is, what if you want to start a franchise? Like you want to be the beginning. Like I have an idea. What's that look like? And do you ever advise people on that?
My advice is, it's going to sound funny, but really think through that because being a franchisor is not all it's cracked up to be. This is the fastest way to talk somebody down from that. I'm like, okay, imagine that you are able to sell 50 franchises. These are 50 people, first-time business owners, who all are putting the majority of their life savings into your dream. You know what, Belinda? They're like teenagers. No matter how much you do for them, it's never enough. When it's going good, they want all the credit. And when it's going wrong, it's all your fault.
Absolutely. I can see that.
I don't know. Being a franchisor is very, in 2021, it's a very different industry than it was even 19 years ago when I first started. It's way more sophisticated. It requires literally millions of dollars to really do it successfully without hurting people. And not that people who start franchises mean to hurt anybody, but they just don't know what they don't know. And again, this is why Kim Daly has a business, because I'm going to lead you to those franchisors who do know how to support you and who do know how to build the next big American brand because they have experience, because they have resources, because they have infrastructure. So it's just starting a business and turning it into a franchise probably has the statistics of 90% of businesses fail before their 5th anniversary. That's not a statistic that's owned in franchising, like the franchises that I work with. In fact, most of the businesses I work with have success rates much greater than 90%. But I think that starting a business and turning it into a franchise is a very, very difficult road. You would really need a lot of wise counsel, not just from a franchise attorney, but from a lot of really strong business people, maybe even experienced franchise developers.
Yep, I agree with that. So, and I do like what you've said a couple of times. So it's really important that you know, like, so like I would say, I'll let you answer it instead of me answering it. But what are the like top three sort of tips, like when you're trying to help somebody, like here? So I know we've already talked about it being a good fit and all of that, but then it's like, what are the top three things that make a franchise a good franchise? That's the wording I'm looking for.
All right. I'm going to turn it back around, Belinda, because people always think, well, when I find the right business, I'm going to say yes. And I'm like, well, you're never going to say yes then, right? Because there's no such thing as the right business.
Okay.
You make the business right when you're clear on exactly what you're looking for. So before you ever start looking at franchises, I mean, come to me and I'll walk you through this process. My service is free. But if you're doing it on your own, you need to go inside and say, personally, professionally, and financially, who do I want to become and why? And that is your power in this process. And then I want you to get a vision for your future over the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years that you want to be involved in this franchise. How do you want to grow? How do you want your life to look? How much time do you want to put into the business? And how does that change over time? And I want people to dream and really believe that it's possible, because it is possible. And then once you come to me with that kind of clarity, and I'm going to get it out of you anyway, then finding the right business is like easy. Because I already know what the right franchise, who the right franchisors are, right? And to the question you asked me in the beginning about, as I was setting up entrepreneurship versus franchising, you know, an entrepreneur may spend 3 to 5 years setting up one location. In those same 3 to 5 years, I can take a franchisee and he or she can own 3 or 5 locations. And since the wealth is always created through scale in a business, mm-hmm. then franchising wins every time in terms of the rate at which you can grow and scale your business to create that wealth. So again, it's having that vision for not just replacing your corporate income if you were in, you know, an employee and now you want to be self-employed, but it's surpassing that and building a legacy for your kids. And the legacy is not just the business itself necessarily, but the lifestyle that you're showing your kids, what you're role modeling every day, the conversations you're having around the dinner table that are very different than when you're a W-2 employee.
Right. But I mean, aren't there things like they should have a really good blueprint or system, like a yes. duplicable system?
Yes.
To me, that would be number one.
Yes. So you're looking for a solid franchisor with a track record in franchise development and also in their industry. Obviously, you've got to have strong unit economics. If the numbers don't work out, then what's the point of doing it, right? Money's not everything, but it's a big thing, right?
Sure.
And then it has to fit your key skill sets, the skills that you want to bring to the table, that you want to wake up and sharpen every day. Because if you buy a business that you never feel in control of, I don't care how great the business is, you're never going to be happy. If you don't feel in control, it's like, you know, in raising kids, whenever they're like super frustrated, you know, or why? It's because they don't feel in control. Well, adults are no different. So when I counsel people who are, you know, unhappy in their business and really try to figure out not what they're telling me, but why they're really frustrated, inevitably it's because there's some part of their business they haven't yet figured out how to own and be really accountable to.
Great. So what advice would you give to others wanting to go down this entrepreneurial road or thinking about getting a franchise? Obviously, probably biggest advice is connect with you, but do you have any other nuggets of advice?
Yeah, Belinda, I really think if you're thinking about owning a business, you know, have fun. People try to make this, and it's a big decision for most people. It's the biggest financial decision other than buying a home that you're ever going to make. So I get the weightiness of it, but you got to take that out of it. You have to get into a happy, creative, open-minded place where you're willing to go down the path and just ask the questions to see what the answers are. I tell everybody who's starting my process, we're not going to try to make this right. We are going to go down the path. And saying yes, investing in a franchise is the natural extension of a process where you've asked enough questions and you've heard satisfactory answers on enough of those questions. Then saying yes is the next obvious thing to do. But when people try to start, say yes or no after one conversation with the franchisor, or worse yet, looking at the website or, you know, making up things in their head that they think are true, like, oh, it's too saturated, or, oh, this isn't the right time. Or, well, yeah, we can all talk ourselves out of everything if we leave it to ourselves. So the idea is to come to this exploration process with an open mind, be willing to ask the questions to the right people. Who are the right people? That's where Kim Daly comes in, to guide you to those right people and to hear what the answers are, and then to make a decision, yes or no. And I tell people, look, even after you've heard all good answers, you can still say no. I'm not judging you. It's your life. And it all comes back to your why. Why are you here? The more convicted you are on what you're trying to accomplish personally, professionally, and financially, and why, if you stay on the path you've been on, you're not going to get there, the easier taking that leap into the safety net of the franchise will be every single time.
Great. So in closing, Kim, what are some new and exciting things you're working on, and what might our listeners benefit from?
Okay, awesome. So the biggest thing, I mean, during quarantine, I was really trying to figure out, you know, like, how do I really take my business? It's hard. Like, again, when I've grown so much and I've accomplished so much, I want to keep growing. And so I came up with this idea to really start using video to inspire more people. So I've developed this YouTube channel. It's only about 3 weeks old. I'm like 180 subscribers or something, you know, but who's counting? So please check out my YouTube channel. I promise to be bringing inspiring conversations and really like the tips, not just about how to select the right franchise, but tips and advice, business coaching on once you've said yes, dispelling the myths, debunking, you know, the head trash that people have about franchising, or even again, helping business owners. I'm going to have some coaching calls where I actually coach owners through different parts of their business, and we're going to record those conversations. So I have many exciting conversations to have over the next year, and I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with this YouTube channel. I also have my first motivational coaching program coming out this summer. It will be a 6-week course that people can take at their own pace, that it will be geared toward first-time business owners. It can be entrepreneurs or franchise owners. It'll be a little bit slighted toward franchisees, just because that's the world that I play in. But I think even an entrepreneur will benefit from some of the focus and the goal planning and vision exercises that I've created as part of the course.
Perfect. Well, Kim, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing just a little bit into this world of franchising. I think it's an exciting one. I'm always intrigued by it completely, in how much different franchises cost, and then like, what's a good one? Isn't location, is that a determining factor or not really, if all those other things fall in place?
Well, I mean, a location, if your business relies on the location to kind of draw that key demographic in, it's critically important to your success, and all the more reason why when you're exploring that franchise, you need to see what support tools a franchisor has in terms of site selection. And I mean, there are some franchisors that can physically score a location based on psychographic and demographic information. And then they even negotiate your lease, because if you've never negotiated your lease, like, how do you know what to get? And how do you know what you're, you know? So there are certain support things that I think you should be looking for if you're franchisor, if your business requires the real estate. But real estate can be a very important. Ultimately, though, Belinda, let's leave it at this. The number one determining factor to your success in a franchise, it's not the system, it's not the franchisor, it's not the location, it is you.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kim. And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us today at Work From Your Happy Place. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, or most importantly, share us with a friend. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.